go. Okay, October 20th. I just want to review real quickly. So, same handouts as you had last week. So, we talked about how the book of the Revelation is organized. Part of your handout is what happens in each chapter. Then, key to understanding is to realize that John did not write as we might as a Westerner. So, some things are chronological. Then he'll just pick a topic, and he talks about that topic, and the chronology falls apart inside of the topic because he's not trying to share chronology. Then he goes back to chronology. Then he picks another topic, and then and they just go back and forth and back and forth. So some of the chapters seem way out of place, like chapters 17 and 18, chapter 12. They just don't seem to fit into our nice little timeline. It's because he wasn't planning to put them in a timeline. Okay, and then we saw there's a couple ways of understanding the judgments, the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments. One is that they're really the same things, so there's really one set of judgments, and he's just kind of talking about them in different ways. And I told you that I rejected that, and I go with an overlapping. So the seventh seal judgment, which we'll pick up here real quickly, seventh seal incorporates the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet incorporates the seven bowls. So we'll look at those texts in a little bit. Okay. So then we sort of gave you a quick timeline. The other sheet that you got starts at kind of the beginning of the tribulation. So we did a quick review. When is the rapture? It can happen anytime. Somewhere we have to fit in the judgment seat of Christ. All we know is it's in heaven. It's hard to track down when exactly that's going to happen. We will spend one section on the one whole Sunday on the various judgments. So judgment seat of Christ, sheep and goat nations judgment, the white throne judgment. So we'll talk about those. So I'm sort of doing the same thing John did. We're going to work chronologically, and then after that's done, we're just going to jump into some topics. So let's hold off on talking about judgment seat. All we know is it's in heaven sometime. Then I gave you this. This took a long time for me to try and figure out where to put everything. So that's the chart that you have. I don't know why all my little things, there we go. I'm just going to get them all out here. That one disappeared. Anyway, so you have that, okay? That should be your table with all that. And then we'll just kind of refer back to that at different times, so kind of keep that one handy. So that was that's an overview. Then we sort of did a complete overview. So tribulation, we talked about all these different things. So I'm just going to click through all these because this was, again, an overview of what's happening. I've given that to you completely in the notes. So I want to get to where we're actually then starting to look at some of those. We looked at several of the seals. We'll get to that. Okay. And those are all. Oh, and the mysterious. Okay. And then millennium, Satan. So we will get to that. White throne is in there. So we'll come back to that. That's because as I was going, I decided not to do it the same way. So let me just back up real quickly. Rather than run through all of them twice in the slides, so we'll start with, there we go. So first half of the tribulation period, still a little bit of review. We have to have the two witnesses in there because when we talk about the two witnesses being killed, it says that they will have ministered for 42 months. So we are on page, it's page 34 in my notes. That's not going to help you. We are... there we go. Okay, so that's where we're at on the notes, just to catch up. So, two witnesses have to begin. So we're connecting this with the timeline as well. Okay, so where it says first half of the trip. Okay. Yeah, so we're
go to the second page.
The big solid line. Yeah, the big solid line is where we kind of started now into the detail. Okay. So, you see the big solid line? That's where we're at. So it should be on like page 2.
I got notes up through Seal Judgment 4.
Oh, that's sort of a big overview, and then we're coming back to those.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you should be right at that solid line.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, thank you for, yeah, we'll clarify that. Okay, so first half of the tribulation, and again, we're tying now sort of those notes in with our little chart. When the two witnesses are killed in the middle of the tribulation period, it says that they have ministered for 42 months, which is 3.5 years, which means they have to be starting at the beginning of the tribulation period. Our other kind of logic to that is, at the rapture, every believer is gone. Who's going to start sharing their faith? We know that people can and have come to know the Lord simply by picking up the Bible. I mean, that is enough to bring somebody to Christ. But I think all of us say that we were influenced by a person. So I think it makes sense logically. You get two witnesses, they're talking about Jesus, they're proclaiming Jesus. 3.5 years, you can't kill them. So they're pretty safe. And so then people start to come to know Christ. Right around there, you're also going to have, as a part of the first seal judgment, the rise of the Antichrist. So he's going to come into power. He's going to then sign the peace treaty. So seal one seems to be that he is coming to power. Probably not world power yet, but if we tie together Daniel, that's why I wanted to start. In Daniel, where you had the 10 crowns, you had the one that supplanted 3. That, I think, is where we're at here. He is in power. I think at the middle of the tribulation is when he will become the world power, because there's some things that he invokes worldwide that he doesn't do before. And I think he doesn't do it because he doesn't have the power to do it yet. Okay, so we talked about the seal judgment. We looked at that passage as the rise of the Antichrist. He comes as this nice peacekeeping guy. But seal judgment 2... is where we seem to see his true nature shine. He is not a good guy. Okay, he is taking peace. We're not going to go back over that passage. I've given you that Revelation 6, 3, and 4. He's taking peace from the earth. He's given a sword. So it's not going to be a pleasant time, but it's going to get a whole lot worse. Okay. So that was Seal Judgment 2. And Seal Judgment 3, we saw that because of some of the things that he had done, that's where we talked about the pair of scales, and it's essentially taking a day's wage to be able to buy what you need for that day. So economic collapse worldwide, disease, famine, all kinds of shortages. Seal Judgment 4, again, we had looked at these. That's why I want to skip over those quickly. Because of disease, famine, and a food shortage, a lot of people are going to die. Okay? And so a fourth of the earth. So we talked about that right now. That's over 1.5 billion people are going to pass just in this seal judgment. And it's not even as bad as it's going to get anywhere close. Seal Judgment 5, we talked about the martyrs. So the judgment is reflected by the cries of the martyrs, because people are being killed. People are being killed now for their faith. You have the Antichrist, who is, as we work further into the tribulation, is gaining more and more power. Yeah. No, no, no. These are opening of seals. So the symbolism is you have like one, and here's that's worth a little sight.
People that are left on earth really won't know.
No. And even then, I don't know how much they're going to actually physically hear the trumpets, or the trumpets blow in heaven, and then these things happen. But the seals, so if you take a big scroll, here's what they would do. They would take a scroll, and partway through they would put a seal. Just think of it as wax. So you could open so far, then you would break that seal, and then you could go. So they either did it two ways. One was that way, big scroll, partway through you have a seal, you break that seal. Or you simply have seven scrolls, and you break the seal on that scroll, and you read what's happening. They did it both ways. So which one? All we know is that these are seals, they're breaking the seal. When that happens, then various things take place. Yeah.
Who's breaking the seals?
I'm pretty sure on that the lamb is breaking the seals. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So this is Christ who is initiating these. Yeah. Good question. In Seal Judgment 6, we had just started to talk about this a little bit. This is where then the Lord starts actually bring judgments on the earth itself. Okay, so that's when Christ opened, there was an earthquake, the sun was black. Again, there's symbolism that we can understand. Why would the sun go black? Well, if you're on the space station, it's probably not black, but if you're on the earth, all of the dust and smoke and all the crud that gets thrown up in the atmosphere from earthquakes and volcanoes and all of that kind of stuff. And the sky vanished. Why? Because you just couldn't see it. So we do have to, and this gets tricky, when we're reading the scriptures, realize that the authors use language of appearance, which those who want to say that the Bible is anti-science just miss that. Because they'll say, well, look, your Bible said the sun rose. We know the sun didn't rise. No, the language of appearance is it rose. We all understand what that means. It's not trying to tell us about planetary motion and the centrality of the sun and all that. It's not trying to tell us those. That's what it looked like. So when you get here, the sky vanished. It, to us, sitting on the earth, it does look. Where did the sky go? Again, if you're up far enough, it's still there. But so we're not saying he's wrong. We're just saying that he's going by what would it appear to the people there. Okay, so that is a judgment on the earth. Then when we see between the 6th and 7th, the calling of the 144,000. So open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 7. This is where one very prominent false religion, a cult, and I'll define cult in just a minute, obviously completely misses this 144,000 entirely, okay? So, from the scriptures, let's see who makes up the 144,000, and this is, I think, really key to understanding the whole point of the tribulation period, okay? So, Revelation 7, after this, after what? After the events of Seal Judgment 6. So, after this is chronological. So, we know we're still in a chronology. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That is a typical expression, four corners. We call them north, south, east, and west. Okay? Holding back the four winds of the earth that no wind might blow in the earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel descending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and sea. So the judgments you've just been seeing. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we've sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Okay, so there's going to be a group of people that are going to be, in a sense, exempt from these judgments. So, don't continue to mess this place up until we've got our group chosen. Okay? They're identified as servants of our God. Okay? On their foreheads. Interesting, because what's the Antichrist going to do? The sign of the beast? One of the options is on the forehead. Okay? We'll look at that when we're going to spend a whole time looking at the Antichrist. That's the lesson that I'm working on now, a couple weeks ahead. And I heard the number sealed, 144,000. That's pretty specific. I think that means 144,000. I don't think it means just a bunch of people, that he could say a bunch of people. Okay? Sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. These are Jewish people, and it goes through and lists 12,000 from each tribe. Okay? These are Jewish people. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? Unfortunately, they have misunderstood this. They ran into trouble when their population of Jehovah's Witness got over 144,000. Then they had to say, well, these are the elite Jehovah's Witnesses, and we're not going to go into that. They just didn't misunderstood this, okay? Now, I called them a cult, and I use that word carefully. A cult is any group that has missed the teaching on who Jesus is. That is a primary. There's lots of characteristics of cults. But if you miss who Jesus is, you fall into that category of a cult, okay? They have missed who Jesus is. Jesus is a created being in their minds. The first thing God created. Again, I don't want to go in much into Jehovah's Witnesses, but these are Jews. What is the point of the tribulation period? To then bring the Jews back into God's focus. Okay, so it appears that during this church age that we all live, that the focus is on the church. So we have most of the New Testament, okay, written to the church. And then at the rapture, the church isn't there. What about all those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that have yet to be fulfilled? The tribulation period is going to then shift focus back to the apple of God's eye, God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. He is not done with the Jewish nation. That's what makes us, and I'll group us in, I gave you two very distinct theological positions. Not going to go into it much, but a covenant theologian, covenant theology essentially says the church has replaced Israel. Israel is no more in God's eyes and never will be. They're done. They blew it. A dispensational theologian says, no. There's this pause between the 69th and 70th week. We fit the church age. These are the two from that we're working on. This one and the top one there. So there's this pause, the church age, where God, in his sovereignty, has just chosen a bride for Christ. Old Testament, the Jews are never the bride of Christ. Okay, so he in a sense, goes out, finds a bride for his son, the church. But the focus of the tribulation period is back on the nation of Israel. Back, and we're going to see at the end, where Israel, as a mass of people, truly turn their hearts to the Lord. They have learned the lesson finally through the tribulation period. So I think this is a great hint at that, the 144,000. The focus is on Jews. Okay, so I, real quick side note, can't follow that much, but I think God still does bless nations that bless Israel. I think our position as a country on Israel is very, very important. Okay. So
the 144,000
chosen Jews
that remain on earth.
Yes. Yep.
Along with everybody else who still remain too.
Yep.
Non-believers, believers.
Now, yeah, hold that through the rest of the tribulation period.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. But they will stay right here. They, in a sense, take the message of two witnesses. Remember, the two witnesses are going to get killed pretty soon here. They're going to take the message of the two witnesses and just go worldwide, global with it. Yep. So they're Jewish people. God still loves Jewish people. So that's between Seal Judgment 6 and 7. So Seal Judgment 7, you'll see why I kind of want to overlap this. So Romans 8. I'm sorry, Revelation 8. I'm looking right at it, yeah. Yeah, it does, yeah. Pretty much there's no other letters in there that match. But anyway, Revelation 8, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Now, this is not original to me, but some have said proof that there's no women in heaven because they can't possibly go a half hour without talking. I didn't say that. I'm just passing that along, okay? I don't agree with that, although there might be some. Anyway, we'll stop that little rabbit. Oh, I know, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Let's not go down that rabbit trail. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. I'd love to see what that actually looks or smells like. But it's the fact that God is still concerned about these folks. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So we're starting into, that's the seventh seal. But what follows then are actually the trumpet judgments. Okay, this is a direct movement of God. So God is doing this. So it's when the Lamb opened the seal, then you have this silence. Interesting, between sets of judgments, there's this pause. It's almost like, okay, get your breath. Boom, it's starting again. Okay, can't read too much into the half an hour. I don't know that we can read much into there. Okay, so what do we get from that? God is still hearing prayers. He is still grieved by the death of the saints, but he is preparing now to do a couple things, and all these judgments really are for a couple purposes. One, get people's attention. Okay, I am a big God. I am still in control. You are still responsible to me. Okay, so with our kids, most of the time, we would start off with, okay, don't do that, okay? I told you, okay? So depending how many warnings you're going to give, and then I told you not to do that, and then paddle, behind, whatever, you know. We seem to start with what's the least that can get us to where we want to be to build character, and God is starting with some of these that we think, those are pretty nasty anyway, but our earth does have earthquakes. We do have volcanoes, but they're going to be escalated to a scale that people have never seen. So there's some punishment involved. True. I mean, these people have rejected, and we saw that last time. We'll see it again and again. In spite of all of this, they are shaking their fist. I will not bow down to you. So then we get into the various trumpets. So let's look at some of those. Verse 6 and 7, of the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. First angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Wow. Think of the economic impact. Think of the impact on food. Think of the impact on all of these things when a third of the trees are just gone from these hail and fire. We're going to see this several times. Is this a crazy meteorite storm? God could do it any way he wants to. He spoke the world in existence. He could just say, burned up. Okay. But it, you know, what are so many movies now about the asteroid that's going to come and smash into the earth? And, you know, NASA is supposedly having these plans how to blow these things up. So they're really concerned. So wouldn't it be interesting if God said, hey, did you worry about it? Hey, here's one. And there's actually a couple times as we get there, I think that is his methodology. But he can do it any way he wants to do it. But first trumpet judgment, hail, fire, a third of the trees, third of green grass. So what do all the cows eat if most of the grass is gone? Yep. So huge impact. Trumpet judgment 2. Second angel, verse 8, blew his trumpet. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Okay. Again, is this a giant meteor? Might be. As John is looking at some of these things, we have to think, what's the terminology he would have? Okay, so he's going to run out of words to describe heaven. It's like, wow, gold streets, and I think he runs out of words to describe some of these events that are happening. So something, goes into the mountain. So this is trumpet judgment too. Burning with fire. Of course, if it is a meteorite, it will have a flame of fire. You know, as it's burning off some stuff in the atmosphere. Strikes the sea. Sea becomes blood. I don't know what the symbolism is there. Okay. Again, it could be, it sure looks like blood, but if you dip your finger in it, you know, there's no hemoglobin, no red blood cells or something. That would fit just fine. If the Lord wants to turn into blood, he can certainly do that too. Okay? Whatever happens, a third of all the sea creatures die, a third of the ships were destroyed. That could just be, if that is that big a meteorite, what's the tsunami going to look like for that thing? Whoa! So, you know, and if it's anywhere near, you know, coastal towns or whatever, just the devastation is going to be incredible, okay? So, trumpet judgment three.
Yeah. Why is John writing past tense? Like, these things have already happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. He is looking at these, let me pause. Because actually, I did think of that. He is looking at this as a whole from the end. So from the end, here's what happened, here's what happened, here's what happened. Yeah, to us it's still future. At the end of his book, I mean, he's at the New Jerusalem and New everything else. So I think he's just looking at these as, in God's mind, these are sealed, they're done. And yeah. So I think he's just looking from the end saying, here's what's going to go into that. Don't feel like that's a great explanation, but I don't know what else to... Yeah. He's just looking at the whole picture going, that happened, then that happened, then that happened, and...
I would imagine that when we enter eternity, the time would kind of cease for us like it does for God.
We'll go down the rabbit trail a little bit. The concept of time as an entity can't end. The concept of time as we understand it as a progression, yeah, that will drastically change. And that's sort of a metaphysical question. We'll not worry about that. Okay, so a great star fell from heaven. Okay, that easily could be another meteorite. Blazing like a torch, it fell on a third of the rivers and springs of water. So not only was salt water corrupted, now you're dealing with fresh water. The rivers, springs of water, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Okay, so a third of the ocean is gone. Now we have a third. Wormwood is just a term they use. That's an Old Testament term as well. When the water turns poisonous. I think there actually was a piece of wood that they called wormwood that if I wanted to bump off Jason, I just put some of that in the water, then pull it back out and give him his drink, and then Jason's no more. So, poisonous water, that's a pretty typical word there. Okay, judgment four. Fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. So a third of their light might be darkened. Okay, again, my opinion is it's language of appearance, so it's not like he's actually getting rid of a third of the stars. I think, again, with all of this stuff happening, that you have so blackened the atmosphere that you're only receiving a third. If I'm wrong with that, again, the Lord could absolutely do it any way he wanted to there. He might just, I mean, he spoke them into existence. He could speak them out of existence, okay? But I think this is more, the sun is really dark and it just can't see nearly the stars I used to be able to see. Then I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Essentially, you think that's bad? You just wait. Yeah, this is pretty bad. So, judgment, sun, moon, and stars. Then we hit, yes, trumpet judgment five, locusts. Just going to read a part of this. This is a whole big, long section there. Fifth angel blew his trumpet, saw a star falling from heaven to earth. Again, could be. meteorite. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke of the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. Okay, skipping down. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. I think that's a sovereign protection to suffer punishment. It seems out of character, but think of this as punishment for people who absolutely defy following the Lord. Okay. I didn't mean to skip that, but they were told not to harm the grass of the earth. I just have a paragraph, so I'm not sure what verse that is. They're told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So this is sovereign protection from believers. The last group that we saw was 144,000 that were sealed. Okay. Personally think this will extend to people who have come to know Christ. It doesn't state that, but I think that I'm comfortable extending that. Those who are sealed, 144,000, those who have believed their message, this is a protection. This is very similar, and you could draw some parallels to the plagues in Egypt. Okay, who is exempt from the death angel? People who were Jews, who put the blood as they were told to do. So they were exempt from some of these. And we see a couple of the other plagues, the Jewish people living in their part of Israel were exempt from that plague. Here, this is a plague, but the people of God are going to be exempt from that. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. The torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. Then they seek death and they won't be able to. So, what are these things? In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair. And their teeth like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the noise of their wing was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. So try and think in your mind what 21st sent, if it happened, what 21st century things might he talk about? We'll come back to that. They have tails and stings like scorpions. Their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it's called Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still to come. So, what are these things? You what?
I say they're demons.
Okay. We're going to see that because that's my thought on Judgment 6. It's very possible these are flat out demonic creatures. Where do they come from? They come from the pit. Okay. I've heard Apache helicopters. I've heard Abrams tanks. My brother, before he passed, was a senior engineer on the Abrams tank lines. And they said, yeah, you look at that, and they're spitting, and it's like, yeah, but that'd be tough to say they came from the bottomless pit. So
does it definitely say they came from the bottomless pit?
Yeah. So I think these are either of two things. Now, we shifted into opinion. I've tried to be real clear. What are we reading and what's my opinion? My opinion is these are either demons, but I'd almost rather hold that to Judgment 6. Or specially designed creatures empowered by either demons or... These could be literally these weird looking bug thing. I mean, they call them locusts, but again, John's running out of words to use. Yeah, they have some weird looking with heads of something. Yeah. So I would sort of lean to these are creatures that... Yeah. Right.
The sky's blackened, the entire earth's changed, maybe they don't have to stay in the dark of the jungle.
Yep, I mean that's...
I mean, Leviathan is in there, so we know that's a creature of fact.
Sure.
And whatever the other one's called.
So that's one of those, it describes it, back in the very first time we met, I said, let's be careful we don't read too much in, but let's not read in what's there. This is one where I think we have to be careful not to read too much in. So I don't know that these are Apache helicopters, or Abrams tanks. Whatever they are, these are nasty things. Okay, then we get to Judgment 6. Revelation 9, 13. Sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from four horns of the golden altar, saying to the sixth angel at the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. This God has in mind from the beginning of creation, this event. Whoa. Okay? They were released to kill a third of mankind. We've already lost a fourth. Now you're going to lose another third of what's there. Okay? The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. Okay, so it's 200 million. I don't know what your version is using, but that's at least ESV is using. Yeah, it's a weird expression. But anyway, I heard their number. This is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and sapphire and sulfur, and the heads of horses were like lions' heads. So again, back to Lord of the Rings, these weirdo creatures that they came up with. And fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur. The power of the horses in their mouths and their tails. Again, some have said, oh yeah, Apache helicopters fit that perfectly because they can shoot missiles that way. They can fire 50 cals back that way. the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor do they repent of their murders or other sorceries or sexual immorality or their thefts. This is not China. First book I read on this, back in the 70s, this was the Chinese army, because China can put together an army of 200 million. But those are 200 million people, not weird kind of creature-y things here. So, some have said that these are demons. Okay, we're going to come back riding horses. Maybe demons have, commandeered a bunch of horses too. This, again, we fall into, it's directed by God. I don't know what John's trying to describe. It'd be nice if we did. But yeah, again, we could have demons here. We could have demon-possessed people. But again, the description just makes it hard to pin that down. So, with that, we have six trumpet judgments. And I think, according to the sheet that I put together, that we are right now about the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, just to get this in perspective, the second half of the tribulation period is called the Great Tribulation. Everything we've seen so far is cake leading up to the Great Tribulation. That doesn't seem like cake. Those are some nasty judgments. But John wraps up that little section with, and they refused to repent. The hardness of man's heart's amazing.
The judgments, there's and then. Chronological. I'm looking at the trumpets, and I don't see that. Is there any chance that those actually are happening simultaneously?
It doesn't seem like it. Yeah.
They were all given their trumpets, and then it says what happens with
Yeah, and then the first one blew, and the second one. That appears to me chronological, that the first blew his trumpet then, as opposed to all seven blew their trumpets. Mm-hmm. It does seem to at least spell it out.
It's saying which trumpet caused which, but yeah. It doesn't have that and then.
Yeah. So, opinion, I think that these are sequential again. So, we get to the middle of the tribulation period. Now, some things are going to be tough to pin this down. Jump to chapter 13. You have this, I even put it in quotes there. There's two of these, two passages here. Somewhere along this line, the Antichrist is, how do you like this word? Sort of-ish? Killed? And then sort of-ish resurrected? Verse 3, 13:3. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound. Mortals fail. But its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. Whole world, it's the Antichrist, that's clear. Okay. What is this mortal wound, or appeared to have, seemed to have? Okay, so does something happen? Is it contrived? Okay, we don't know, but that's going to be the turning point where the whole earth marveled. I think that's the turning point that now the Antichrist is going to take over the world as opposed to just a major power in whatever this revived Roman Empire looks like. Look at same chapter, verse 12. There he's speaking of the false prophet, then he's going to refer to the Antichrist. So same chapter, Revelation 3:12. It exercises all the authority of the first beast, that's the false prophet, in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. That's all we get. We don't know what it looks like. What happened to it? Again, was it contrived? They came up with this plan, hey, you know what? If I die and then resurrected, he is called the Antichrist. And there's two different characteristics. We'll have to wait till we get to that, but I'll give you the two. So he is anti. He is opposed to. He is anti as a substitution for. Okay, both of those legitimate. The Antichrist. There's actually one verse that's going to show both of those purposes. Jesus died, came back from the dead. I am now the Jesus that you want to follow. I just died. I just came back from the dead.
So the Antichrist changed form.
No, the beast is referring to his character and what he's going to do. So yeah, I think he looks exactly the same. Yep. So you have that mortal wound. So somewhere in the middle that takes place.
Is it possible in one of the trumpet judgments that he receives the wound?
If it is, we just don't see it.
Okay.
Yep. So we don't even know how long.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So was he? Did he flatline? That they're saying no, and all of a sudden, we just don't know. Yep. But two witnesses killed. I just love this section because picture C-SPAN and everybody with their cameras on this chapter 11. Let me keep track of time. We always run out. Verse 7, chapter 11. So back up a couple because again, now we've got to get our topic connected back into chronology. And when they had finished their testimony. The beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. We're talking about the two witnesses. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. Okay, so we're in Jerusalem. So they lay these bodies out for everybody to see. I think this is going to be a huge thing for the Antichrist. For 3.5 days, some of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and will make merry and exchange presents. Here's the Christmas in the book of Revelation. Because these two prophets have been a torment to them who dwell on the earth. But this is so cool. C-SPAN, everybody, cameras are on there. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them. And they stood up on their feet. That is so cool. Stood up on their feet. And, yeah, understatement. Great fear fell on those who saw them. Yeah. Okay. Then they heard a loud voice. Now they, I don't know who the they is. Is it the two witnesses? Is it everybody around? Or is it like Jesus' baptism that the voice of God to those around sounded like the rumble, but Jesus understood. So they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here, and they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. That is just cool. So these two witnesses have been ministering for 42 months. You can't touch them. Somehow, I think by the agency of the Antichrist, he kills them. Actually dead. We're proof they're dead. You can come see them. Just fly to Jerusalem and look at them. And 3.5 days later, boop. Yep, no decay. They just pop alive. Everybody's going nuts. They're breaking into every channel. They'll probably even stop soap operas in the middle of the day. Whatever. To be able, pressing news from Jerusalem. They're alive. And then they just sort of, I picture it very dramatically that they just slowly ascend into heaven. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. But it says that, their enemies watched them. So this is not the twinkle of an eye rapture thing. This is their enemies watched them go, went up to heaven in a cloud. So somewhere in the middle, the Antichrist dies and comes back. These guys actually are dead, as in dead, dead. But the Lord can breathe life into dead, dead things. So that's not an issue at all. I mean, that's sort of what he did with Adam and Eve. He took some mud and made them and just breathed the breath of life in them. So then we actually, I'll read the Daniel. You stay in Revelation 13. This is why we started with Daniel. And I considered the horns, it's Daniel 7:8. And behold, there came up from them another horn, a little one before which three of the first horns were plucked by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and mouth speaking great things. This is the rise of Antichrist to power. Now we see in Revelation 13:7-8. Also it was allowed to make war on the saints and do conquer them. All authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name was not written before the foundation of the world in the book of life and the Lamb who was to be slain. Antichrist has absolute, total dictatorial power over the entire earth. Okay, somewhere in there also, whoops, I didn't catch up with here. Somewhere in here is the mark of the beast. Hold on to that till we get to Antichrist. But look at some of the passages. Revelation 13, again, 16, 17. It, Antichrist, causes all, both great and small. So Antichrist, false prophet. Some of these sort of, it's a group effort. Both rich and poor, both free and slave, will be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell lest he has the mark, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Chapter 14 says, another angel followed saying, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark in his forehead or his hand, and there's several places that we'll get to that when we get to the Antichrist. Now, what does that look like? Now we're moving into the guesswork again. How many of you have your pets chipped? Okay? Yeah, it is super easy. It is essentially painless. I haven't asked the boys. I actually probably should, because they've both been deployed several times if they've been chipped. Because you can then put just a small, tiny little microchip that can then tell you, if you're in the military, your rank, your everything, you know, medical, all that kind of stuff. So, opinion is that's what they're going to do. The 666, you'll have to wait till we get to the lesson on the Antichrist. But something that if you don't have that, so if you can't go into Sam's Club and put your wrist and scan it, or just run the scanner, if you can't do that, you can't buy, you can't sell, I mean, you are forced to get that, okay? Movies do all kinds of interesting things with that, from zeros and ones, you know, sixes three different times and all that kind of stuff. Don't know what it's looked like, but with today's technology, we can easily see how they could set up a system whereby unless you pass the system, you can't buy or sell.
Once you do have that sign or symbol, you still become
a... That is a great question. I think no. And again, when we get to the Antichrist, we'll kind of look at that. I think that is similar to, if you remember, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It came to a point where you have now made your choice and sealed your fate. So I personally don't think that a person who receives the mark can then be saved. So somewhere in the middle here, so he becomes a world head. They institute the mark of the beast. And he's going to break the peace treaty. Again, I'll just read it so you don't have to try and find the middle of Daniel. Talked about that back then. In the middle of the seven, remember seven, seventh week, 70th week, tribulation, 3.5 years. He will put an end to sacrifice and offering, which implies that they had been sacrificing an offering and giving offerings. We talked about that a little bit last year. Do they need an altar? Do they need a temple? Well, John is said that an angel's told to measure the temple. So I think at this point there is a temple. He will set up an abomination that causes desolation till the end that's decreed is poured out on him. That's Daniel. And then we see this abomination of desolation. Okay, so I've given you all those different passages there. This is where Matthew 24 comes in. And we'll finish with this. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then certain things are going to happen. Okay, you can look at Matthew 24, look at that. So what's going to happen is the temple's there. The Antichrist now has world power. He's calling all the shots, goes into the temple. They're going to set up an image of himself in the holy place in the temple, completely, totally desecrating the temple, stopping their sacrifices, essentially saying, you want to worship? I'm the one you worship now. So that is called the abomination of desolation. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 2 as well. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. I died, I came back, I am your God, worship me. And unfortunately, we see through the track record of Jewish people and others, they'll worship all kinds of things. You know, when Aaron makes a golden calf, having just seen all the miracles being brought out, they worship the golden calf. They complain about it. Yeah. Okay, so there's nothing new under the sun. They will then go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You died. We saw this, actually. We've just read stories about Jesus doing it. We saw it happen to you. You died, you came back, you're worthy of our worship, and they will grant that to him. So somewhere in the middle of there, the abomination of desolation takes place. I think that's what he now has power. There's a couple more things. We'll start with those next week. But we should be able to finish up, actually, because the bowl judgments just boom, 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 boom. Bowl judgments are really fast. And they're called bowls because it says they're poured out. Bowl judgments, vial judgments, they're poured out over the earth. But all of this middle stuff sets the stage for the Antichrist doing what he wants in the second half. Not a good time to be around. Praise the Lord. We're not going to see any of that. But we probably have friends who might. So we need to be diligent in living before them. Because John says this, Paul says this a lot. Therefore, what lives ought we to live in light of this? So that's it. We got to stop.